MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up?
Happy Thursday, day number two of Bills training camp, getting underway at St. John Fisher. It is expected to be a hot one today, so if you are out there, stay cool the best you can. If you're not, well, stay cool the best you can.
Friend of the program, Pat Hammer, WGRZ, sending out the map earlier this morning of like what it's going to feel like today. Near 100 degrees in plenty of places. So
yeah, the sun.
Ice cream is great.
For 5 minutes before it melts in that weather. Before we get fully going today, I do want to remind you that training camp coverage at St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy outlet liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorney, and driven by your upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your upstate Honda dealer today. We now go to the Western Hotline to get our day started, because live from practice, Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, there we go.
There it is.
Great. I love it. I love it. I had to get it out there and get going here. I had a... a bit of a challenging morning myself. I had told the story on the radio, but we can all relate to this, right? Which is, I got my coffee in my dorm, I had my nice coffee. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go down and get on the radio. But, you know, I said, oh, got to get my credentials in my car. So I had to make sure I went to my car, to the parking lot, walk over there, and I put the coffee in the cup on top of the car, on the roof.
You know
what I mean? Yeah. Then when I shut the door, the coffee fell down and went all over the car and a little bit on me. And I'm like, come on, it's going to be that kind of day. But then I thought about it and said, you know, I'm an eternally optimistic guy. You guys know that about me. I'm just optimistic and I'm positive. And I said, you know what? The day can only get better from here. So that's the attitude I'm taking as I come out to practice.
There we go.
That is right. That is right. It's so early in the morning. You're like, it actually only can get better.
Yeah, this is a putrid start. We cannot do much worse than this, so we're not going to.
And as I say, the day can only get better. Good news for the Buffalo Bills. Dawson Knox not practicing, but he is out here with the team. We didn't see him at all yesterday. I do see him today walking with the trainers in street clothes. So that's good news for the Buffalo Bills tight end, who's on the non-football injured list with a hamstring injury.
Fantastic. Sal, before we jump into today, we were kind of talking as practice was getting going yesterday. Of course, I think went for like the next hour or so. What were some of your big takeaways from day one? Of course, no pads and kind of more like, you know, it's syllabus week really for the Bills at St. John Fisher.
Well, I think the number one takeaway that when you first got here was what was going to happen with James Cook. And the takeaway is James Cook wants to be here. He wants to be a good teammate. He's not going to let the contract situation distract him. The Bills aren't going to let that happen. And thankfully, it won't happen because James Cook is a part of this team. And it becomes a non-story at this point until it might at some point, you know, during the season when we start talking about this thing. So that was number one. But then you get on the field and you watch the guys play. And I think the biggest storyline, and I wrote about this at WGR550.com, the starting cornerback competition is starting. Like it's going right now, and you could see that Tre'Davious White. I think I was talking with you guys a little bit that you know, Tre'Davious was taking some first team reps, and then they would mix in Max Harrison. But boy, the rookie looked really good to me, guys. The rookie looked really good. He made a couple really nice plays on the ball. One on Curtis Samuel, actually not on the ball itself, but he made a great job. He did a great job to tackle Samuel and ride him out of bounds before he was able to turn up field, which could have been a touchdown down in the red zone period. That's what they did a lot of was red zone yesterday. And then the play of the day, and the Bills tweeted the highlight of this through their video over at their Buffalo Bills Twitter feed, was a ball that looked like it was going to be an easy catch for KJ Hamler towards the back of the end zone. And here comes Max Harrison out of nowhere. He's not even in your screen. Makes a play to knock it down. That's the kind of athleticism, speed, change of direction that this team is hoping for from the first-round rookie. But look, I mean, he's got to win this job. If he wants to take it, he can take it. He can win it. That doesn't have to be because Tre'Davious White doesn't play well. It just might mean that Max Harrison does so much so well that they say we can't. We got to keep him on the field.
Sal, when it comes to it with Trey White, with Harrison, but also something that you had on the website as well, not necessarily regarding the competition, but Tre'Davious White's infectious personality, once again back at Bills camp after a year away, and we all see the video of Uncle Trey with Deion Dawkins' family and everything like that. It does feel like it's a good feeling at minimum to have Tre'Davious White back in the Bills uniform.
I was talking with Dave Naylor, who covers the team for TSN up in Canada, and he comes down. He's a Bills reporter here. And we were standing on the sidelines watching, and he said, you know, Sal, he said, it doesn't matter what sport, whether it's football, hockey, baseball, basketball. He said, I can't remember and know of any team that so many guys come back after they leave. And I think that's right, right? And Tre'Davious White is kind of the headliner for that this year, which is this is a guy that was gone for 1 year, a couple of stints. He was with, obviously, the Rams and the Ravens. And then, bam, you know, he shows up here and he comes back. He re-signs as an unrestricted free agent. And his personality is infectious. His persona around the team, that he is so beloved and so loved by his teammates, by his coaches, the people who've been here, by the fan base. And I think that really came out yesterday. You saw that video you were just talking about with him and obviously Deion Dawkins. So, yeah, I just love to see that. And I'll tell you from our standpoint, from a media standpoint, Trey, it was tough when he was hurt. We really didn't hear from him. And obviously he was going through a lot. You know, mentally, it was very tough on him. When Tre'Davious White is feeling good about himself and he's out here playing football, he's a super awesome guy to talk to and have fun with from a media standpoint as well.
Yeah, I think most of us have heard that about Trey. It's just he is like that guy that you kind of want to be around. And I would imagine for a certain age group of Bills fans, Trey White might be one of your favorite Bills of all time. Of course, we all kind of remember the play where he picks up the play sheet and is looking at it because of the wind. And like, you kind of become famous. For me, Sal, too, I always get a little nervous sometimes when the players do come back because you're oftentimes not getting the guy that first showed up here. But it was really encouraging yesterday to hear that Trey White, at least from reports I was seeing yesterday, looked really good. And then you're also seeing Harrison make the play of the day. And you know, looking to last year with Rasul Douglas and eventually Kyer Elam, they had a real weakness at CB2. They could have a really good problem here if, while yes, they have the number one, you know, or the first round pick in Harrison with the the crazy trait that he has with the speed. Be awesome, though, if Trey White goes back to somewhat of what he used to be in Buffalo.
No doubt about it. I mean, I don't know. I don't think anybody's expecting Trey White to be all-pro Trey from a few years ago. But, boy, I think, and the Bills have indicated this, that they really liked his progression when he went from the Rams to the Ravens and where he was by the end of the year. Was he a lockdown corner? No, but he was getting significant time. Remember, he had a penalty against the Bills in the playoff game against the Ravens. He was covering Keon Coleman. He was on the field, though, guys. He was playing for a team and playing significant snaps for a team that was one of the top teams in the AFC and has Super Bowl aspirations. I think that says a lot about where Tre'Davious White still is in his career.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking to today, though, we did hear from Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, and at least from what I heard, one of the main characters of that was Keon Coleman, and he is absolutely somebody. I know me and Derek read some tweets yesterday from some listeners as well that's one of the storylines a lot of fans are keeping on. It is really just Keon Coleman as a whole, what kind of step forward he takes in year two.
Yeah, for sure. Keon Coleman is a really important player for the Buffalo Bills this year. We know that. Going into his second year, they expect that jump. But they also know that, you know, last year, because he didn't come back from that injury the way that everybody expected him to, hoped him to, and wanted him to, we know that from the way that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean both spoke about Keon, which is, you know, he needed to kind of be better coming back from that. But that happens with young players. They don't know how to deal with injuries early on in their career. He's never had a significant injury like that. And, you know, he showed up, I would say, bigger and stronger in OTAs and minicamp. He stayed around in Buffalo. Same thing with Dalton Kincaid. They're both in the same boat in this regard for a couple of different reasons, but kind of in the same boat. So, yeah, he has a he has an opportunity here in Buffalo to be a very, very key member and key piece to what they do at wide receiver. I really like what Joe Brady said about Keon Coleman. If you're coming out here and you're watching him, he said, really, when the pads come on, it's when you get the separation for wide receivers because of the physicality. Out here, guys, in shorts and T-shirts, that's not Keon Coleman's game, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
His game is going to be when it's more physical and, you know, guys try to put hands on him and they can't do that. And I would caution anybody coming out to training camp, don't judge anything about Keon Coleman the first few days. Let's wait till the pads come on and he can get a little bit more physical and guys start to get physical with him. And that's how you're going to see Keon Coleman in his truest form.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Western Hotline from training camp. After day one, Sal, we had a couple of injuries. Laviska Shenault being put on the non-football injury list, for example, though, it does look like the Bills might be trotting out a cavalcade of players to try to see who might fit with kick and punt returns, including what looked like visuals from earlier this morning right now, Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir fielding punts.
Yeah, well, that's something they're going to do a lot of, and they did last year. If you remember last year in the playoffs, remember Khalil Shakir did return the punts in the games. Keon Coleman took reps. He did it in college a little bit. He took reps in those spots. So, yeah, that's something you're going to see some of. Guys rotating in and out, like you just said. Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, whoever it is, getting opportunities to punt a little bit. Sorry as I walk, guys, a little bit windy. If you pick that up, my apologies. I'm trying to walk from one field to the other to watch what's going on. I'm watching. Keon Coleman actually just caught a pass right here, a little slant pattern. They're doing a little bit of just quarterback throwing to wide receivers. But you're right, Laviska Shenault on the injured list now and with a lower leg injury. And then Dawson Knox is out here working with trainers. That's a good sign. Cedric Van Perren Granger. I haven't seen Cedric Van Perren Granger. He's also a guy that's obviously out right now. He's on the PUP list along with Spencer Brown. And the Bills didn't seem too overly concerned about, you know, Spencer Brown or Dawson Knox and their injuries.
So, yeah, last thing for me, and speaking on injuries, right before we came on, there was some breaking news out of Jets camp. Quarterback Justin Fields, I'm going to put quotations around carded. That does not mean the same thing as it has in years past. That has now just become, it's the easier way to get a guy to the locker room, to the medical staff, so check
right
on him. But he did get carted off the field with an apparent lower leg injury. For a team that, you know, is not getting a lot of headlines, I mean, Aaron Glenn goes in there. I think he's really trying to fix the culture there. Fields, though, had a little bit of juice to him in terms of how exciting he could be. It just feels like another hit for Jets fans where it's just like, when is this going to end? I mean, as a Bills fan, kind of don't want it to, but I do love Fields.
I thought the same thing when I heard it from Joe this morning. I didn't know. He told me, and I thought the same thing, which is, boy, I mean, if you're a Jets fan, you're like, are you kidding me? Like, what's going on here? So you hope that Justin Fields is okay, seriously. Like, you just never want to see that with anybody, especially a young quarterback who did a nice job to kind of resurrect his career a little bit last year. The Jets are an interesting team. I don't think they have enough to compete with the Bills in the AFC East, but they have some talent. We know Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson, you know, signed those extensions in the offseason. They're starting to pay their guys, their young guys. They want to keep them around. They just need that quarterback piece to hit, and it would be really, really shame if something were to happen to Justin Fields.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sal, we'll let you go. Go watch practice. If anything crazy happens, you do know where to find us.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. The Keon Coleman thing that Sal brought up there is really, it's something to chew on a little bit, because that's right. I mean, that's not his game. We say it all the time with the offensive line and the defensive line. Like, you kind of can't judge them outside of, like, maybe how quick they are until pads go on. And Keon Coleman not being really the smaller, you know, faster kind of receiver, yeah, his 6'4", 220 frame kind of needs to wait for pads to go on before he can really show out.
And we'd mentioned it, like, hand fighting is one of the few things that you can actually work on in camp without pads. But even then, it's not as physical either.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to make sure you're, like, owning the space, that is something that pads aren't going to allow for as comfortably. Or no pads, I should say, mm-hmm. as comfortably. I'm here for, let's get to the pop, let's get to the thuds. Because then you get to see even more from certain players, and including the defensive line.
Yeah, that's a group that I'm
so curious
how they look.
I can't evaluate anything mm-hmm. about them without pads on.
It really is like, do they look quick, and are they, like, slim or bigger? Like, that's
it.
All you've got.
But But that's an appetizer. That's just a small taste of their power. No, and I need to see them in those one-on-ones with the drills, with those pads on. Come on.
It's even
or stuff even the team with, blocking schemes.
Well, team blocking schemes, but that's the thing. Like, Spencer Brown is down right now, so they're rotating offensive linemen at right tackle. Right now, it appears to be Ryan Vandermark. Yesterday, it was Tylan Grable. You can't really get a good gauge on either of them with Brown out. So, like,
right.
Yeah, sure, they're picking up reps, and that absolutely is true, and they are quality, but there's a ceiling there for them until pads go on. And really, the hope is that Brown's back by the end of the week, right? Because no one sounded that concerned
exactly
to anybody's injuries. So the hope is he's back even before pads come on. But then, yeah, like, you look at some of the other guys that maybe were getting quality reps, there was a ceiling there. There was a limit to, like, how quality they could really be to actually see how much growth there is. But, I mean, it's kind of, you know, picking fights sort of with nothing. Like, I like this group. I'm excited to see what they look like. But I'm not overly, I'm not losing my patience yet in terms of, like, the pads not being on. That'll come quickly, but it's not, day two is not fast enough.
Yeah, day two is not fast enough for it. We need to see a little bit of that live action, a little bit of that thud, a little bit of that pop. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that allows it to be this feel that football has more of a genuine feel to it.
803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on the show, give your thoughts on the start of training camp. Cornerback two might be maybe the most fun battle, though. And at least if it signs early, day one, it genuinely could be fun. It may not be one of those camp battles where the winner wins out, but we're not sitting here kind of cheering. It's just more like, okay, that's who they're going to go with. I mean, if you're getting quality time from both Trey White and Max Harrison, and then you add on the experience from Trey White, the fact that he's not going to be asked to be CB1, that is going to be Christian Benford, or Max Harrison, okay, your first-round pick, you're kind of hoping he hits to maybe make a perfect duo with Benford, and then you add in his elite trait that we saw yesterday. Sal brought it up, that play that kind of the Bills threw out there and sort of was the play of the day. Sal portrayed it perfectly. He's not in the frame, and then he is. And that's the closing speed. That's what he offers. It'll allow him to make maybe more mistakes in his rookie year, take more chances, because he has that catch-up speed. He can make up for some mistakes, some risks that he took. And that could
closing
be,
speed
yeah,
is
that
important.
Can be an exciting aspect of the Bills' defense, because I do think, to a certain extent, the Bills have been missing that pop in a lot of areas where Harrison could really add something there.
You know something from camp that always gets me giddy? Like, you said yesterday, and I love it, that you're going to be irresponsible with any Elijah Moore videos.
Full blown, baby. It's all right.
I get giddy about players staying after practice to work on more stuff. When you see this player's out on the field, Josh Palmer with Josh Allen.
Yeah, they stayed after yesterday.
He stayed after to work with Allen a little bit more. And then I see Dorian Strong working with Christian Benford.
That's very much your guy.
That's my guy.
That has become your guy.
That's become my guy. And he's going to need, like, players like that are going to need extra attention so that they can, you know, stand out. Find your way to stand out in training camp. Find your way to steal snaps. Find your way to get a game day jersey.
Yeah.
Obviously, Palmer is a different class in this, because it's about what is his fit on this team and how extensive are they using him. They have plans for this guy. Strong, with this cornerback room, do something to stand out. You have to. For Hancock, it's, hey, you're taking second team reps at nickel.
Yeah, your versatility is going to be
your biggest
asset. Your versatility
is your biggest asset. For Strong, it is, he's working at gunner, and he is taking time after practice to work with Benford. You need to do something with this cornerback room because of how deep it is. Everyone just conveniently forgets Dane Jackson's here too.
Yeah.
Jamarcus Ingram, Cam Lewis, these are guys that have been on this roster for years now. They will need to fight. There's going to be a lot of tough decisions made in the secondary. While it has the biggest amount of questions, it does seem to have the most amount of players that can vie for playing time. So, yeah. Videos is one thing. You know, seeing the nice little plays, the Harrison breakup was a really nice one. For me, it's always going to be about, what are players going to do to stand out? What are players trying to do to find their way? What are players trying to do to expand on their role? Staying after practice, working with special teams. Coleman fielding punts to begin practice here today is very interesting to me.
And I like Sal that he brought that up too, that Coleman had done that in college.
Exactly.
For I think a lot of fans, you'll hear kickoff returners and punt returners, what's their 40 time? Like that, like who has right. the pop speed? Coleman is not that guy, but he has like the long stride speed. I mean, we all know like he got at the combine, the miles per hour. He was one of the top guys. Coleman did that at Florida State. I mean, he's an all-around athlete.
We all saw it with him a couple times last year.
Mm-hmm.
The play that gets him back in the Houston game is a yards after catch play where Coleman just storms his way down the field for a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's the kind of player that you'd have fielding punts? Okay.
Right. That'll work.
That'll work for me. That works for me. And it makes sense Florida State used him in that way. Shakir, what more do we need to say about a slippery pinball than Khalil Shakir? Other than maybe not give him a couple extra opportunities to seek out contact.
When they initially drafted him, man, out of Boise State, I thought he was like a diet Deebo Samuel. Boise State was having him take handoffs mm-hmm. out of the backfield. Like, he was doing everything for them. Yeah. I mean, the Bills, I think, have found the right way to use him, which is just as a traditional slot receiver with more yak ability. But when he was initially drafted, I was like, guys, he's a gadget player. He's going to do everything for you.
It seems like Khalil Shakir, though, also is a player that has not met contact that he doesn't like.
100%.
So if I've got that man bouncing off of a punt team, I'd get a little nervous eventually.
I mean, yeah, eventually. It's one of those things, though. Like, I've gotten there, and part of it, I think, is actually due to Josh Allen. I've stopped kind of worrying about it. Like, I just want your best ability. Like, whatever it is, I want your best plays. I don't want a guy who's going to be here maybe 5 extra years, but the 5 years just simply aren't the same.
Right.
Like, it's where I've gotten, obviously, with Allen of, like, I don't really want his rushing ability gone. Give me the 10 to 12 years of truly elite play rather than the 15 to 17 of, well, the last 5 years weren't great. But, you know, he was still here and he was still okay. Give me what they have now, and we'll worry about all that stuff later. GMs are already drafting 2, 3, 4 years in advance, so I'm okay with that. By the way, talking about a guy standing out, and we already mentioned his name, Palmer yesterday obviously stayed after with Allen. Today, Matt Bove tweeted about 20 minutes ago that Palmer was hanging out with McDermott.
Yep.
Talking it up, chatting it up. So that is definitely going on. Palmer, he's a guy – If you listen to Bean really talk at all this offseason anywhere, you kind of knew they had big plans for him. I'm just so curious to what those plans actually could materialize into. Like, what could he actually be? Is he a guy that has like a John Brown type season back from 2019 where just, hey, he was good, not great, gets though into the right system, gets into a right role with the right team, and all of a sudden, boom, he's a 1,000-yard guy, 85-catch guy, 6, 7 touchdowns, and you're like, he's not the best, but you can certainly win a Super Bowl with him. I think maybe yeah. the Bills might have that idea for him. Because a lot of this group is the same of, hey, we really like John Brown. Really think this Josh Palmer guy can come in and kind of do something similar. Not the same guy, right. but something similar of like he can really break out here. And the problem with Brown was he just got old fast.
Yes.
I mean, he had about 2 really good years with the Bills, and just, you know, his elite trait was how fast he was, and he got old fast. Palmer comes in at 25, 26 years old.
Right.
And they signed him to a 3-year deal. There's a feeling there of if this works, we could have him for his prime.
We can have him here for at least a couple of years mm-hmm. and get really good value out of it. And if that's the case, well, then down the road we kick the can and see what we have to do after the 3-year contract. But if they have big plans for him and he's able to live up to what they suspect
mm-hmm. –
the offense could have an extra wrinkle of nasty to it.
Yep.
I do think that chemistry between Allen and Palmer will be important. And the fact that he is working extra time after practice tells me he knows what his role is going to have to be, how important it is, and what he can do to keep up with it mm-hmm. is just as important.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. You are, of course, listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here with you on a beautiful but hot Thursday morning. This is WGR.
Baseball's all about the games. And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
As receiver, I mean, separation that he can create with his feet. I think that off the line, just the way that he's really taken ownership of it, and he cares about his craft. He's just an easy guy to throw to, body language, eyes, and I feel like his catch radius is some of the best I've been around.
Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen talking about a fellow Josh, Joshua Palmer. We didn't talk about him a lot, and I think partially it was because they didn't really do much in the draft. They gave this guy some pretty good money for some less than ideal stats. But, Derek, you bring it up. He was in a Greg Roman offense last year.
Correct.
And 2 years prior, he was garnering a lot of targets. He seemingly was really building with Herbert. Picks up a bit of an injury in his third year, if I remember correctly. And then last year, it's Roman. And kind of at that point, they're moving on. It's a new coaching staff. They have a very different identity with Harbaugh and with Roman. And here we are. If he has those abilities, I think that is exactly the receiver that Allen loves to throw the ball to. That is exactly who Allen loves to throw the ball to. Get open, get to a spot quickly, boom.
Yes, and furthermore into that is the fact that I don't know what – how much usage, because like the Brady hat, everybody eats. Like, how much is it going to be? Like, what's the statistical output that we're looking at here for Palmer?
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know, and I'm not necessarily worried about it. Because the Bills do have a bevy of options. Moore is going to take targets. He's too good not to.
Agreed.
If Kincaid and Allen figure out the chemistry that is wonky between the two of them,
mm-hmm.
He should take some attention. James Cook will take some of these plays. Khalil Shakir is already established.
Yeah, 100 targets last year, yep.
Keon Coleman should have himself a better year. I do believe that. So what does it actually look like numbers-wise? And the answer to that is I have no idea. And that's not a bad thing.
No, because I mean, it goes to what Brady was saying this morning when he spoke to me, Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. You know, you want to change things up. You don't want to stay stagnant because you want to stay at a high level. You know, the Bills don't even throw 500 passes last year. At least Josh Allen does not. But do all of a sudden, you know, the better personnel lead them to go, yeah, we'll throw the ball 540 times in a season. Then all of a sudden, yeah, the targets change drastically with who gets what and who leads the team in targets, the whole thing. I absolutely believe that was part of the issue last year. I mean, for two games, they kind of couldn't throw the ball.
If you get Palmer's career best, numbers here. 72 catches, 769 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Who's complaining? Consider last year, that would very cleanly be second on the team. By a lot.
And it would lead the team in targets.
That leads the team in catches.
Yep.
Nope.
Only in targets.
4 off. Shakir had 76.
Mm-hmm.
But it did come, for example, on 107 targets. So that would have led the team in targets.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very easily second on the team in receiving yards.
Yeah.
And I would expect that Coleman's touchdowns get the bump. You know, red zone type player, a little tougher to play against. Doesn't matter if he's covered. Try to attack the ball with your hands. Secure it. But it could very well also be Palmer.
Absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones. Steve is up first this morning. Steve, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, doing pretty good. This question is kind of coming off of what we were talking about with Trey White before, and you know that some of these guys that you know we've had around for a while, you know, are going to end up on the cutting room floor when we do that final 53-man roster. And I wasn't sure if this is the year that they kind of move away from that fullback position with Reggie Gilliam to kind of give one of these younger guys a chance to make it on special teams. And I would say also even at that fullback position, you know, I don't think there's any pop from Reggie Gilliam at that spot. When I think of a fullback, I think of more of like Ricard for Baltimore, you know, especially in our run game. I think we can do better at that spot too if we're looking to have someone specific to that spot.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for the call. You know who might actually take the Reggie Gilliam role if they really wanted to use a traditional fullback? And Gilliam is kind of more of like a third-string tight end also for them. Like, he kind of does a lot. It's actually, I think, Jackson Hawes.
Yeah.
Because they're going to want that big bruiser blocker kind of type. I think that's maybe who they go to. I agree, though. Gilliam's been on the roster for a while, and you do kind of sit there often. Like, what do you do?
But also,
he kind of does a lot of the dirty work for him.
Yeah, that's the thing about fullbacks. We don't talk about them if they're not being noticed. And when are you being noticed as a fullback? The same way you'd be noticed as an offensive lineman. You're missing a block.
Yeah, you did something poor.
And you don't hear much of anything from Reggie Gilliam. He is the quiet workhorse that throws his body in the way to help get you some extra yards. If you want to look at trying to create roster space, I don't know if fullback right now is the way you do it. Not with Brady's propensity to want to run the football more and create more balance. I would go ahead and listen, though, to you get one of these reliable roster players to being your kick or punt returner.
Mm-hmm.
And can Codrington do something as a corner to preserve his spot on this team? And considering the size of the room and everything with the talent around it, I don't know. Codrington as a returner has to be the best return man because that's the only way that he will really retain his spot. But the Bills are rotating in a lot of players right now. If one of those guys that is a roster fixture stands out, then you might be looking at, hey, we might be able to secure an extra roster spot somewhere because we have our return guys. And they're like Shakir and if Curtis Samuel gets into the rotation, for example,
right.
Or Ray Davis is a primary return man now.
Coleman.
If one of those guys can stand out returning the football, you look at that's how you can create roster space. I don't know about fullback right now. I don't know about Gilliam.
I think especially, too, because Gilliam's the only one. I mean, he's the only guy they have listed at fullback.
And also, if Gilliam has clearly lost a step, that's when you have that conversation.
Right.
And that's something that the Bills will know before a lot of people will.
Oh, absolutely. It is funny. He has been on the roster for a while. Since 2020. Undrafted, picked up by him, and he's been here since. He, weirdly, is a guy that we all know and probably shouldn't. You know, it's not like he's made like these huge pop plays.
It feels
plays.
Like he's been here forever, but he's only 27.
Yeah, he's only 27. I mean, like, he was an undrafted free agent out of 2020. It's not that long ago, but it's 5 years. But he kind of just, he does the dirty work well. I do wonder what their plans are with Hawes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a guy that, look, he was a late round pick for a reason. But the thing he does really well is block and hit people. And knowing how Brady likes to run the ball and they want to bring in that sixth offensive lineman, that extra blocker. I mean, that's where Alec Anderson obviously is coming, right? You do wonder if Hawes, you know, I look at it too, Derek. Dawson Knox, we're kind of getting to the end of that as well with Knox.
Correct. You know, there's a contract there that is going to slowly become more and more of a problem.
Yep. And Kincaid is not the hands in the dirt, I'm going to hit you tight end. He's obviously a receiver. Like, that's that's what he was drafted for. That's how he's been pitched since being here. I wonder if the Bills, again, we've talked about it, like GMs draft 3-4 years down the line. I wonder if their plan with Hawes is not necessarily to fill like even a Reggie Gilliam role, but literally just to be that second part of a tight end. And just, dude, you're here entirely just to hit people. And you're here to block while Kincaid gets open. And that's how it's going to be. And if you show any semblance of picking up that receiver aspect, then, and I, again, I wonder, they're thinking, great, maybe if Kincaid doesn't take that next step, we have our tight end of the future. If he ever develops that versatility that you kind of need at the tight end position, but he is much more of a wait and see kind of guy.
Yeah, and the other thing about this, though, is that Knox is still capable, but here's the other part about that with Hawes. Knox being out, Hawes is rotating in with the first teamers already, mostly because there's no choice. They're not playing him any fullback snaps. So, appreciate the call. I don't know if Gilliam is something to question.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Gilliam. 803-0550, though, if you want to join the conversation. A quick update from practice is coming from Alex Brasky. Dorian Williams sustained an apparent injury early during team drills, has not returned after exiting with a trainer. Something to monitor regarding the Bills linebacker and leading tackler from a season ago. Derek, I know Dorian Williams is absolutely one of those guys for you that you have looked to as sort of this, you know, potential Matt Milano replacement even as early as this year because, yeah, he led the Bills in tackles. He was very good for them in replacement of Milano, and we are kind of getting there, like I said with Knox, with Milano of, okay, do you have to start talking about the future? That's kind of when they picked Dorian Williams as well, was that eventual replacement of both Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. That's kind of how it felt with both TB and then into Dorian Williams the very next draft out of Tulane. That's how it's felt. But if he, you know, potentially picked up an apparent injury here, he would be a bit of a miss. But they do have a good linebacking room.
It's that they have some depth now. It is because of what Williams was able to do last year, jumping year one to year two. And effectively, he was forced into a starting role last year, but he did not look overwhelmed. And a lot of it was, can you read and recognize better? Because he has the athletic ability to go sideline to sideline. He's a fast-moving linebacker. He's a rangy player. Can you recognize and take the proper angles? That was the problem in the KC game. He and A.J. Klein struggled in that game.
Mightily.
I do suspect that if healthy, Dorian Williams will offer a solid piece of depth in case Matt Milano is a little bit on a snap count or they do need to spell him every now and then just preserve his health. Williams is up to the task. And if that's the case, well, linebacker suddenly becomes something you can breathe easy about compared to last year. Compared to a couple years ago.
Now, I will say, though, talking with Sal yesterday, and I mean, there was excitement in his voice, too, talking about Matt Milano. And that's a player, the last few years, the Bills have almost had to learn to live without. You know, we got there with Trey White as well.
Right.
Just picking up injury after injury kind of in successive years, it led the Bills to, like, okay, we've got to figure out how to be without you. And eventually led to the release of Trey White. And, you know, eventually
the trade for Rasul Douglas.
Yep. You know, they had to learn how to live without him, and it has worked. And now he's back. But Matt Milano, it's sort of the same thing. He is a player to that certain extent because they have learned to live without him. Their leading tackler was his backup. It has led me to kind of forget a little bit about him. But if they get even close to the All-Pro Matt Milano from 22, plus the ascension of Terrell Bernard, that is such a strength for this team. That is such a strength of where they can go forward, especially if the D-line maybe takes a little bit of time to really get going, or just the depth is tested with Hoyt and Ogunjobi out for six games, or the cornerbacks and the young safety room takes a little bit of time to gel. That could be really, really huge for the Bills going forward, is having that talented linebacking room. And at this point now, Milano really kind of, the injuries are behind him, hopefully.
With practice going on, by the way, right now, and we see people, you know, reporting everything, I'm seeing a lot of Jackson Hawes in here, but not for the reasons that you'd want to suspect.
No.
Williams was covering Haas on the play that he pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
And then AJ Epenesa bonked Haas after a play.
Oh, you guys can't do that. The pads aren't on yet. We can't be doing that. We cannot be doing that.
There was no scrum after it, though. Like, both players just walked away. And I'm going to guess that, like, Epenesa realized there was a mistake in his target, and they're just like, all right. Like,
tough. 803-0550, the number to call. We do also have an injury update from Jets camp.
Yes, we do, about Justin Fields.
This is from Kimberly Martin of ESPN. This is her tweet. Huge sigh of relief. Player stepped on Fields' toe. The Jets quarterback should be fine. We've all stubbed our toe. We know exactly how the feeling is. But that's why I said it with Sal, though. I know Jeremy said it too. It's cart season. It does not mean the same thing as it has years ago.
If you're dealing with a foot injury,
imagine a lineman stepping on your foot in cleats.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt.
That would hurt a lot.
And to be fair, you pull up anything, like if you're like, "Yeah, my toe hurts," correctly, trainer's gonna be like, "Let's go check it out." But get off the field. Come on, we're gonna go check it out.
No, why would we have you walk on it?
We're not Jacksonville. We're not animals.
Oh, your hand hurts? Yeah, do a handstand real quick.
Do you guys remember that, though? Like, the Jacksonville Jaguars, it was, I think, a primetime game.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence hurts himself, and he has to walk to the locker room with trainers next to him. It is the most grueling thing I've ever seen.
And, yeah.
Like, it's why? Like,
hey, your shoulder hurts? Here, carry this thing real quick.
We gotta test it. We gotta make sure.
We have to test it on our way to the trainer room. No, of course you're not gonna walk on it. Like, it's good, though, that it's like that, but tell me. Anyone that's played the game, from Little League to the highest level that you ever could have, somebody steps on your foot with a cleat, doesn't feel good.
Yep.
Not a good time. Everybody hates it.
803-0550, the number to call. CJ, we'll get to you first after this quick timeout. If you hang on, you're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wrapping up hour number one here of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. CJ on the line next. CJ, good morning. How we doing?
Good. Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I had a quick question, but
sure.
It's not a simple question. So we had questions in regards to how not having any speed on the back end for the defense last year. And that's what's great about our draft pick, our first round pick, Maxwell Harrison. Mm-hmm. He has speed. That's phenomenal. What frightens me is the back end, our safeties. They're not fast to me. And maybe that's just me, but we play teams with, like, we play the Bengals this year. They have some speed on the outside, especially with Chase after the catch. We got the Dolphins in our division. There's teams that we play, even in the regular season game against the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes missed on a few bombs to him, but he was open. And that's more or less a zone coverage thing. If the wide receiver is passed off to the safeties, I don't think they can keep up. If you have somebody with a strong arm, they can throw it over the head and say, mm-hmm. Hey, I want you to run and go get it. That frightens me. I believe our up front, that helps us a lot. And I don't think they'll have too many deep shots, but from the history of us having Poyer and Hyde, we're used to the Bills not giving up so many deep balls. Last year, we saw a lot of it, for the most part, more than what we've seen.
Yeah, more than we're used to. Yeah, that's right.
Right. And that's the only thing that concerns me about this team. If we're playing man, I think we can keep up with Harris Maxwell chasing somebody. But if he has to pass it off to the safeties, I don't think anybody's fast enough to really keep the lid on the defense, honestly. I think that's our weak spot on defense.
CJ, thanks for the call. I agree. I think it's the weak spot on the defense, mainly because it's a lot of unknowns. I don't know necessarily if I would agree with the speed aspect, because I don't really know if I would say Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer were particularly fast athletes. They just were in the right spots at the right time.
They were very regularly heavy, very cerebral type mm-hmm. players, the both of them. They did have, obviously, the requisite yeah. athleticism to be starting safeties in mm-hmm. the NFL. It's not the unknown, Zach, that I think is the worry here. It is that there is more known. That is, of the three safeties that you expect to rotate in with this secondary, mm-hmm. you know what two of them are. They're yeah. box safeties.
Yeah,
okay. I do think that Taylor Rapp is best suited as the box safety, the one playing in closer to the line of scrimmage. It's that one piece of unknown that you are right about, though.
Yeah.
Cole Bishop. A healthy Cole Bishop showing to be rangy will be a big boon if he's able to do it. If he's healthy, if he's showing his athleticism and his range, I have no problem with dealing with that and coming in here with year two as what I was suspecting from the beginning, which is Cole Bishop to play the high, and then you can have Rapp in there comfortably. Mm-hmm. And if Rapp, in his aggression, he gets himself into a lot of hits that even hurts himself.
Yeah.
But I'm comfortable with a couple games of DeMar Hamlin playing the box if necessary.
Well, because that's where I think most Bills fans would agree Hamlin is best suited, not just as a box safety, but also as just I can come in for a few games. Like the traditional backup of, okay, I don't want you starting every game, 4 or 5, though, to get through it. Fine.
If Rapp's out for a couple weeks, for example, I'm cool with it. I'm absolutely good. It's what has to happen.
I also will say with Bishop too, if you are worried genuinely about speed, he did run a 4.45 at the combine. Like, he's not slow by any means, but he is also a bigger person, 6'2", 200 pounds, runs the 4.45. Like, he is an athlete. Full stop. He is an athlete at the safety position. It's a lot of the same with Coleman too, with his injury in the middle of the year. But at this time last year, Bishop wasn't practicing, and that basically yes. ruined his rookie year because he could not catch up. What is Cole Bishop if he doesn't get hurt? The Bills expect a lot from their safeties. I'm not saying they don't, but are we coming into this season way more comfortable at the safety position if Bishop doesn't get hurt and is able to play a little bit in the year? Because to be perfectly honest, Derek, you know, CJ brought up too, it's not that it was a lot of deep shots. It was just way more than we were used to. And one of them was against Cole Bishop, specifically the Houston game.
And it's the first time they'd given up a deep mm-hmm. touchdown in legitimately years.
Yeah.
So something genuinely over the top. That's the first time that's happened in a long time with this defense. And I think that has to do with that is his first time getting up to that type of game speed.
Mm-hmm.
He did not get training camp. He did not have a chance to start. And the first time that he's thrown into starting action in any circumstance, it's against Houston.
Yep. And Sal Capaccio tweeting here just about a minute ago on the cornerback two battle. Very often when Trey White subs out, Max Harrison comes in. I see the two make sure they find each other and give a low five or an exchange of words as the two pass by. Unsurprising, I think, for Bills fans of Trey White. I feel like he's a guy that doesn't have to be told to be a mentor. He's just going to be. That's just who he is.
Exactly. Like, big vibes guy. Tre'Davious White continues to be big vibes guy.
Yeah. Unsurprising, more at 11. 803-0550, the number two call. Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coming up next, this is WGR.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.